Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the 12-yard line, Cutler Keats under pressure throws and completes to Earl Bennett. Touchdown.
How in the world do you hang on to the ball when you get cartwheels like that? Really good at these hide routes, they call them. They bring Earl Bennett from the other side of the formation. He's wide open and then just gets flipped by Brandon Browner as he punches it into the end zone.
And was able to hold on to the
incredible
football.
Incredible.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
A wide receiver for 6 years in the NFL, all of them with the Chicago Bears. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Earl Bennett now joins me. He's on Twitter at Earl B. Bennett. Hey, Earl, you still do flips like that in the yard?
I do not do flips like that in the yard. But that was the best intro that I've had on radio, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Our producers, Herb Lawrence, Julio Rosale, doing a fantastic job. I always feel like when I see you on Twitter that you're starting some other new cool venture. What are you doing now?
Right now, I recently just created ProStyle Media, which is essentially a platform for athletes to come on and just share inside stories from their playing days. As you can see, I just kind of talk about, you know, for me, from my perspective, some of the things that happened. Like, I almost got traded to the Broncos. Like, this was a legit conversation that I had with Cutler when he was still a Bronco, and it almost happened, but Shanahan got fired and it didn't go through.
Wow. Okay. So how did you find out about it? What was the process going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, so it was my rookie year. I wasn't playing a lot, and Jay just called me up one day. He was like, "What are you doing?" And when Jay calls you up and say, "What are you doing?" There's normally a little follow-up. Like, he's not just going to call you and be like, "Hey, just checking on you, right?"
Yeah.
He's calling to give you some type of information. And he was like, "All right, so we got to keep this between you and I, and we're thinking about making a trade for you. I think they're going to trade Brandon for me." And he's like, "But keep it under wraps." And I was like, "All right, cool." And that was the end of the conversation.
Oh, man. Favorite interview you've done so far?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Man, it's really tough. I would say for me, my favorite interview was probably, there was this guy out of Atlanta. He does, he's like a music producer. His name's Drummer Boy. And he actually produced a song, Put On, by Young Jeezy and Kanye, which is like one of my favorite songs of all time. So I got a chance to interview him, and it was just really cool to see how he took the theme song from the Bulls and implemented it in the song. And I never even like really thought about it until he said it. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool."
Well, what about, because I was checking on the website, you've interviewed a bunch of your former teammates. What about of the former Bears?
That's tough. See, you're on the spot. Former Bears, it's always good to talk to DJ Moore. We got, you know, history.
Oh, you made some news with that one, Earl.
Yeah. Yeah, DJ's my guy. He's just like my brother. Our birthday is literally one day apart. I hosted him when he was at Vanderbilt. So he's just my guy, man. I love DJ to death.
See, I'm the sports betting guy at the station. Am I remembering this correctly? Were you doing a sports betting podcast or making picks or something?
I was making picks.
Okay. How'd you do?
Yeah, I did okay. I wasn't very, very good at it.
And it felt hard.
I won more than we lost. But yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah, that's good because the NFL is tougher than any other sport. Oh, is it brutal? And then I saw today in something else I know you do on your website that you shared a story about a couple of guys in the news, Brandon Marshall and Vontaze Burfict, right?
Yeah. So that whole situation was very funny because Vontaze Burfict is very outspoken on the field. And he made a comment to Brandon Marshall about, hey, man, yeah, I'm about to beat you like you beat your wife. And Brandon just blacked out. That was the end of everything. When I mean he blacked out, we would call a pass play, and he would run right towards Vontaze Burfict.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, man, yeah, it's over. And so the coach took Brandon out, and Vontaze came to me and was like, hey, Bennett, man, tell Brandon I'm just joking. I apologize. And I was like, nope. Like, it's on now. And he even tried to bring Matt Forte into it, and Brandon and Matt were just like, nah, man, you cross the line. Like, if certain things on the field, you just don't say. You don't talk about a person's kid. Don't talk about their mom. You definitely don't talk about their wife.
Mm. You know, the Raiders have been so upset with the suspension. And, of course, we got the Bears-Raiders game in London coming up this weekend. It's just, how do you talk about it among NFL players? Because Burfict has this history. He was a problem in college. He keeps doing this kind of stuff in the NFL. I mean, as an NFL player, do you actually hope that someone is suspended for an entire year like he's been?
Yeah, he don't belong in the NFL. Anybody that played with the intent as Vontaze just shouldn't have the privilege to play in the NFL. And as you can see, every single time he makes those drastic hits, it's intentional. He could easily just touch it. The guy's on his knees. Just go touch him or just push him down. But you leave with the crown of your helmet, and you could really injure somebody. Like, you could end a person's life by doing that. And he deserved it. He got what he knew was coming towards him, and he shouldn't be able to play in the NFL ever again, if you ask me.
Yeah, no question. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. Former Bear Earl Bennett on the line. Check out his website, prostylemedia.com. He's on Twitter, at Earl B. Bennett. All right, what do you think of the 2019 Bears?
Man, it's been up and down. They're 3-1. They just lost their quarterback. The defense is still top five. They have a great opportunity this weekend up in London. I think if they can continue to put these games together, get a better rhythm offensively, and really give David Montgomery the ball, I think they'll be all right, especially going into November and December. But these games early, you want to pick up because it is tough sledding once you get into playoff mode.
I've done some shows with Lance Briggs, your old teammate, and he's brought up the same thing, the frustration with the running game. And you're an offensive player, so explain why you want to see Nagy call more run plays to kind of set the other side, make him keep guessing, right? You want a more balanced play calling?
Yeah, you have a more balanced offense. Your opportunity to hit big shots down the field goes up tremendously. Your ability to do some of the play action, some of the bootlegs, some of the things that Mitch really thrives at, you're able to do those things once you establish the running game. But if you don't establish the run game, then mostly every team is going to think pass first, but you want them to think run first. And hopefully he's, you know, continue to iron out some of the kinks within the offense, because they have a lot of players that can make plays. Cordero Patterson, Tariq, we saw Turbo, Taylor Gabriel. So you got a lot of guys offensively that can make plays. It's just about putting it together now.
Yeah, it's been frustrating because they've added more pieces to the offense, and then the quarterback play has taken a step backward before Trubisky was injured in the first month of the season here. So you took to Twitter on Sunday, and you mentioned, hey, Chase Daniel, he's the better option for this team. And you're not alone. You're not alone. I saw Alex Brown on TV talking with Lawrence Holmes, and he was saying the exact same thing. For this team where they are right now, that Daniel is the better option. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, that's the case just because you gotta have to understand the system. And that's what a lot of people, you know, is hard-pressed on. Oh, Mitch is the better quarterback. Yeah, there's no doubt. His talent is off the charts. He's way better than Chase Daniel. But when you look at this offense and the type of system that it is, it's a rhythm offense. Get the ball out your hands quick. Get it to the playmakers and let those guys make plays. The end. That's all you have to do. And Chase does a really good job with going through his progression. If you watch him, you can tell he's a veteran quarterback because he goes from 1 to 4 so smoothly that you can't really see it. And that's what you want out of your quarterback. But when you watch Mitch play, he goes 1, then he goes to 5 immediately to check down, and that's pretty much the end of his progression. And I like Chase because he gets the ball out. He's a rhythm passer. He hit his third step, the ball's coming out. He hit his fifth step, the ball's coming out. He's throwing the ball before guys are even out of their breaks, and that's what you want as a quarterback. You don't want to get out of your break and be completely open, and then the ball is just being delivered. You want the ball being delivered with the quarterback knowing that you're going to be open, and that's what Chase does.
What else does Trubisky struggle with?
I think it's confidence. Anytime you see him play, he really struggles with throwing a deep ball. And throwing a deep ball is a thing of confidence. And he lacks confidence within the deep ball because we've seen him underthrow it and we've seen him overthrow a couple. And that's just something that he just has to get better at. Guys just have to rally around him and say, hey, man, we know you can make these throws, but we just need you to settle down and just do it. Just whip it. Just let it go. There are some times where he just don't fling it enough for me. And I think once he gets his confidence back, then everything else will flow a lot better.
And, Earl, speaking of confidence, it feels like Nagy has more confidence at least stretching the field with Daniel than Trubisky, because we saw him dink and dunk in that Redskins game last Monday night trying to build his confidence. And then once Daniel came in, they were – you're right. The offense had more of a flow, and there were more passes going down the field. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And as a rhythm passer, you don't have to wait until the guy is 50 yards down the field to try to throw a deep ball. At 20, 25 yards, a rhythm passer, he's going to let that ball go because, one, he don't have the arm strength like a Trubisky does. But he knows if he throws it on rhythm at 20, 25 yards and I hit him at 60, that's my job. That's what I'm here to do. And Nagy understands that. You know that Chase understands the offense well, and he also knows that Chase is going to get the ball out of his hands every single time, on time. The chemistry is there. There's a huge trust factor with Chase. That's what you want between the quarterback and the coach.
Year three in the NFL, year two Nagy system, quarter of the season in. Should we know what Trubisky is right now?
I still think it's a little too early to know what he is as a quarterback, but I will be completely honest. It's not a good look whenever the backup quarterback comes in and the offensive playbook expands tremendously. That means that the offensive coordinator do not trust your abilities enough to give you a more extensive playbook. So right now, I'm very worried. If Chase plays well these next two games and the Bears win, what do we do when Mitch is healthy? It's the same dilemma that we had with Jay Cutler and Josh McCown. Josh McCown's 13 touchdowns, one interception. We all knew that Jay had the talent over Josh. But Josh was a rhythm passer. Josh got the ball out of his hands really fast. He spread it around to a lot of guys. And we saw the same thing with Chase. Chase spread the ball around to a lot of different guys. A ton of people touched the ball, and that's what you want. So if Chase wins these next two games and he performed very well, we may have seen the last of Mitch, unfortunately.
Wow. When you guys were going through that in the locker room, obviously you have these conversations. It's the most important position in sports, which guy to go with, and the city's talking about it. You know Cutler has the talent. We heard that his entire career, and as you just mentioned, look how efficient McCown was playing and how strong, and you guys were winning. Were you saying amongst yourself, man, I hope they stick with Josh?
Yeah, there were a couple guys in the wide receiver room because I was getting more touches. Alshon was getting more touches. Everybody was getting the opportunity to catch a ball. So as a selfish player, which most of us were, and we're receivers, so we kind of have that diva within us, we wanted to keep Josh in at quarterback. We were winning, everybody making plays, and so the selfishness within us wanted Josh to stay in. And I can tell you this, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, if those guys are getting 6 and 7 catches a game from Chase, they're going to think the same thing. And they're winning. I mean, that's the best thing ever, to have an opportunity to help the team win from a statistical standpoint in knowing that I'm going to touch the ball this weekend.
Yeah, we were just talking about it, Earl, before you came on. So what if they go over to London, play the Raiders? Not only do you win, but they start having multiple touchdowns, because they've done that once this year. Once. You had three points against the Packers, one touchdown against Denver, and you had the Redskins game, and they're about to fire their head coach. So I don't know how impressive that is. Trubisky did have one really strong quarter there. But if Daniel runs the offense efficiently again, everything's flowing, and they light up the scoreboard, I think going into the bye, they've got a full-on quarterback controversy.
Absolutely. And that's a great thing to have. A lot of people will say, oh, no, it's bad for the team. No, it's a really good thing to have, because now you have two guys that are going to push each other throughout the season. And one has to know that if I want this job, I have to do everything within my powers to keep it. And as I mentioned, the playbook expands tremendously when the offensive coordinator or Nagy have confidence in the quarterback, and you can run a lot of more things. That's just the nature of the game. And it's the system, too. A lot of people don't understand that. I don't care who you are. If you do not fit this system, there's not really much you can do with it. It's just like when Jay Cutler got hurt when we had Mike Martz, and Martz didn't want to tailor the offense to Caleb Haney, and we didn't do well. So that's the part that a lot of people have to be cognizant of, is that this is a system that Nagy has been running for a very long time, and if he has to scale back his plays, that's not good for the offense. But the more extensive it becomes, the better it is for the offense.
Yep. It was 101 last year. That's what he kept saying. It was supposed to be 202 this year, and you're right, Earl, they are scaling it back. So the big question, we have to look at the big picture. You mentioned the great defense. I mean, they've been just unbelievable again, and now they're forcing those turnovers like they did last season. If you have Chase Daniel as your guy, as your QB1, what is the ceiling for this team?
I think if Chase Daniel come in, he's efficient, the ceiling for the team realistically is the Super Bowl. And the reason that I say that is because he's like a Cal Ord. That's the first guy that comes to mind when I think about Chase. It's like Cal Ord. Like, Cal Ord is the guy that would come in. He's consistent. You know what you're going to get from him. He can run the entire playbook. He's reliable. The defense, they're going to do their job. I mean, they are shutting down Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, which he really don't count in my book, but
well, Dalvin Cook, man, that run
but
game.
Dalvin Cook, right. And so you have a defense that's saying, hey, look, the most we're willing to give up maybe 13. If you guys can score 14 or 20, 21, we're going to win a good chunk of games. And that's all you need. So Chase come in, he do his job, he gets 21 on the board. More than likely, the Bears are going to win. Because Khalil Mack, and when they get Akeem Hicks healthy, I hope everything's okay with Roquan. And then you got Eddie Jackson, ha-ha, on the back end. What's crazy is that you can literally name just about every guy on the defensive side.
I know.
That is crazy in itself, to just think of how many Pro Bowl players they have on defense.
And you know this city, Earl. And nothing against you as an offensive player, but this city loves their defense.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, when I was playing, you know, Peanut, Urlacher, Briggs, Peppers, hey, Earl, we just need you guys for 20 points. I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to try to get in the end zone at least twice, all right? And it was like, all right. Peanut would say, all right, Bobby Earl, you owe me now. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to try my best. But you know that the defense, they're so stellar that all you have to do is just put up just a few points, and you have, I mean, your chance of winning goes up exponentially.
Have you seen anything like Khalil Mack before?
I have not. I was thinking about that the other day, playing with Julius Peppers, who's just an absolute freak. Barely saw the guy work out, but he would just, like, you know, really dominate some games. But Khalil Mack he's a little different. Right? I mean, it's unheard of what he do to offensive linemen, quarterbacks, strip sack, touchdowns. Man, honestly, you could go ahead and put him in the Hall of Fame. it's just unreal that what he's doing and how he completely changed that entire defense. You know, a lot of people was like, oh, man, they spent too much money on him. But then after the first game, he was like, nah, you really can just plug anybody opposite Khalil Mack and you still have a really good chance of winning.
Earl, do you have the Bears winning Sunday?
Yeah, I got the Bears winning Sunday. I think they will get the job done in London. I'm not a huge fan of John Gruden. I think offensively they're not capable of scoring enough points against the Bears. I look for the Bears to have at least three turnovers this game and really get the W in London.
Oh, I can't wait to see what Mac does. Can't wait.
Yeah, I hope he just dominates and just destroys the offensive line every single play.
Earl, I want to let you know, a lot of love from Bears fans on the text line and on Twitter reaching out. They love hearing you, man.
Hey, man. Chicago, I love you guys. I appreciate every single game I had playing in front of you. You're always great. Even when you booed me, it was still cool because I know that I needed to step my game up a little bit. But, man, there's no other feeling than running out on Soldier Field on Sundays.
Because they care, man. Just remember that. That's how much they care. That's how important the Bears are to them. We're going to bug you again if you're willing to come on. Okay, Earl?
Absolutely.
Earl Bennett, 6 years with the Bears. Check out ProStyleMedia.com, and you could follow him on Twitter at Earl B. Bennett. Yeah, I love the reaction coming in. Earl put it out there. He was not holding back for a second. Listen, Chase Daniel needs to be the quarterback for this team, and the ceiling is the Super Bowl if Chase Daniel's out there, and here's why.
That was amazing that he actually said his guy, he went to Vanderbilt with, his homie.
That shocked me, Herb.
That they wanted to go with McCown, because I remember that time that around this city, a lot of people were like, you know what? McCown's giving us a better chance to win. We should go with him. I think the record was 3-2 with McCown, though. That was.
But he was right. It was 13 touchdowns, one interception.
Oh, he was killing. He was murdering folks. I mean, the Minnesota game, I think, was somebody else's fault. But, yeah, they were killing.
If you want to react to anything that Earl had to say, there was some great stuff in there. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. You can also text in at 67011. You've got the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football Ryan Field this fall with the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald. Host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. And this hour on The Score brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. You've got Joe Ostrowski on a Friday evening, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Really enjoyed that conversation with former Bear Earl Bennett, an outspoken Earl Bennett. And as you can tell, he's doing a great job with the podcast. It probably took some getting used to, just to kind of flip things to jump onto the media side. But a lot of former Bears now doing that from Earl Bennett's years. You have Olin Krutz doing great stuff here on The Score and on NBC Sports Chicago. Of course, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, a lot of guys locally doing some great stuff. For years, throughout my childhood and much of my adulthood, it was only 85 Bears. They got all the media gigs forever, but that's finally starting to change. We're hoping, and I wasn't just BSing Earl. I'd love to check in with him from time to time. He's clearly watching every single Bears game, and the man has some opinions on what is going on with this team. So I'm glad a lot of you enjoyed that. A lot of people have reached out and said that they loved that interview and loved hearing from Earl Bennett. It's fascinating what he said about Chase Daniel, because these are different conversations. Higher ceiling. Which quarterback would you take for the future? Of course you're going to say Trubisky. But that's a different conversation than what you have right now. Because what you have, just look at the numbers from last year, and it looks like they might be close to repeating it. An all-time defense. And you can't waste years of that hoping a guy is going to develop. Now, Earl says, you have the higher floor in Daniel. The off goes the offense. You don't have to dial it back with Daniel. Everybody gets involved. You're stretching the field. That's why Chase Daniel's the better option. He's not telling you that Chase Daniel is a premier quarterback or he's going to be the QB for the next 3 to 5 years for the Bears. That's not what he's saying at all. He's just saying with this team, how this roster is constructed, he's the better option right now, and Nagy doesn't have to worry about the playbook. Oh, can he handle all of this information? No, that's not part of it at all. He can do everything that he wants. So here's the interesting part, and I get why people have been worried about, oh, well, you go back to the Giants game, look what happened with Chase Daniel. That was his second start, and you're right, it's fair. He had a couple turnovers on the road. It wasn't a pretty game. It scored 27 points, but it was not a pretty game for Chase Daniel. But this time around, with these weapons, with Montgomery, with Robinson's second year off the torn ACL, now Nagy gets a full week to prepare, knowing that Daniel's going to be the quarterback. That's the other part. You're thrown into the mix. He didn't get any reps in practice last week at all, and he did a nice job. 16 points is not enough, but it was enough to win that game. It was more than enough because those 16 felt like 32. Now, you're probably going to have to score more. Earl was saying that his teammates on defense would tell him, hey, just get us 20. And I wrote about this actually today on 670thescore.com. I had mentioned something very similar. It's a race to 17. With this defense, it's a race to 17. Can you get to 17? You're going to be in prime position to pull off a win if you do. You can get to 17 points every single week. That's how great this D is. That's why Jim Nantz, Tony Romo are throwing out the phrase 85 Bears. No joke. In a passing league, in this era, that's how dominant they are. A lot of interesting matchups. Of course, we're all going to be dialed in on Khalil Mack, watching him every single play. What's he going to do against his former team? By the way, I still can't find any props. I've been looking. Maybe they're not going to be available until Sunday morning, but I can't wait. I guess they have to set it at a sack and a half. I guess. I hope there's a forced fumble prop. The Mack stuff will be great. I had a guy that covered the Raiders earlier in the show, Adam Candy, on, and he said he doesn't think that Gruden's going to be worried about Mack and he's going to make sure that they double and triple team him every play. He doesn't expect that. So that's going to open things up for a lot of other players. He says Gruden doesn't really care what people say about him. Okay. Well, if that's the case, give me all the Mack overs, whatever they are. You've got to post some of those props because people will be involved in those.
The book I use, or one of the books in Indiana, East Chicago, for example, they do not have a player prop yet, but they do have a safety prop. If you're interested in that, Joe, let me find that for you.
I think I saw a defensive touchdown, one, two.
A safety to be scored, plus 1150.
The defensive touchdown wasn't enough for me. It was like plus 375 or 4-1 or something like that for defensive touchdown.
Usually, Ameristar in Chicago, they'll post their props Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the last couple of weeks, I've seen at least Khalil Mack's sack total is over 1.5.
But what was it? Was it paid well on the other side going over?
It was plus higher money. It was pretty high, but
yeah, well. That might be even money this week, at the very least. Other interesting matchup, Josh Jacobs. So you shut down Dalvin Cook a week ago. Nobody saw that coming. At the time, he's the NFL rushing leader. So what are you going to do against Josh Jacobs? Averaging 5.5 yards per carry. And the Bears are giving up only 3 yards per carry. That's good for second best in the NFL, only behind Tampa Bay. So are they going to be able to shut down the run defense like they did, completely taking Dalvin Cook out of the game? Nobody had that happening in that Minnesota game. Nobody. Especially once you found out on Sunday, yep, Akeem Hicks is out, and so is Roquan Smith. What? The center of the defense is out entirely? That was a concern. If you're saying you weren't concerned, come on, man. You didn't know Kwiatkowski was going to do that. You had no idea. Same thing with Nick Williams. 7:08, you're smoking crack if you think 17 points will be enough against Kansas City, Rams, New Orleans, or San Diego. L.A. Chargers. I didn't say that. I am talking about this Raiders game on Sunday. In New Orleans, it might be enough with Teddy Bridgewater under center. They scored 12 points at home on Sunday night. Drew Brees will not be available in that game coming off the bye. Yeah, the Rams can definitely put up some points, but they're going to give up some points. Look at what they were doing last night. And last week, Tampa Bay scored 55 on them. I mean, Kansas City, I can't argue. The question with Kansas City, that's at the very end of the season, are they going to be playing for anything? Will they have their spot locked up, or will they be playing for a bye still? Because I think that's in week 16. Not sure. The Chargers, they're not the same offense that we've seen over the last couple of years. Maybe they get it together this weekend against the Broncos. I could certainly see that. They're at home, even though it's not like they play great at home. But yeah, it doesn't fit every game. But most games, all the games so far this year, 17 would have been good. 5-0, I think. We'll see what happens on Sunday with the Raiders. It will be fun. When you look at the schedule early on, you're like, okay, great, London. Going against a bad team. Raiders got a couple of wins now, coming off an upset victory at Indianapolis. Not horrible. But this defense has problems in the Raiders. So many ways to expose them. They got a safety playing slot corner. They're just an absolute mess. Gruden just cares about putting some points up. What I want to see is, are they going to do the quick passing? Remember week one, second Monday night game, Denver against Oakland? A lot of people were surprised that the Raiders ended up winning that game. They didn't know that the Broncos were trash. We've learned that after a month. But what they did, Carr, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Von Miller wasn't able to be a factor. Same thing with Bradley Chubb. Now Chubb's out. He's injured, I believe, for the rest of the season. But it wouldn't shock me if Gruden tries to do that. Don't give Floyd, Mack, all of those guys, Roquan, if he's out there, an opportunity to put pressure on the quarterback. So there are a lot of fun angles. Fortunately, 10 games going on at the same time. Packers-Cowboys will be fun. Colts-Chiefs, I think, will be fun on Sunday night. We had a good Monday night game. Week 5 is shaping up like a nice week. I got to go home and make all my picks. It's always fun doing that. 312-644-6767. 9 o'clock, I'm going to go out to Vegas, check in with Dave Sherapin. He's the odds maker over at CG Technology. Really cool dude. You'll want to hear this conversation. Down to earth. Knows sports. He's not just a nerdy numbers guy. Has opinions, and we'll find out where the sharp money is in the NFL and also college football this weekend. Joe Ostrowski is with you on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670, The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by the Exogen Temporal Scanner. Hanging out till 10, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Here's a texture to 67011. 815, you're calling the Broncos trash, but it was only a horrible roughing call that let the Bears beat them. I don't get your right reasoning. Well, they're 0-4, for one. Joe Flacco is horrendous. And Vic Fangio was brought in because his defenses get to the quarterback and they create turnovers. Last week was the first time they had a sack this season, and they have zero turnovers after four games. Zero. The Bears had 5-1 game against Washington, and I know a lot of that was because of Case Keenum. But, yeah, okay, you had the coin flip game against the Bears. And you could also, not only the Chubb penalty, you could also point to the Robinson catch. Was there really a second left? Was there really? They waited a hair longer before they touched Robinson on the ground. And I know he gave up. Was it 0 or 1 second left? You know they're talking about that still in Denver, and that's going to bother them all season long. But yes, I saw the other games. The Broncos stink. And they're going to lose this week, too, at the Chargers. They are horrible. Vic Fangio might be done after one season. Even if the Broncos win that game, they're still not a good football team. They're not. Maybe we have a different view of the Bears, though, if they're sitting at 2-2, because that could certainly be possible. I found this interesting. And we'll get back to football at 9 o'clock. Dave Sherapin, odds maker out in Vegas, will join me. You're going to want to hear what he has to say, what's going on with this Bears-Raiders money and some of the other big games in the NFL this weekend. So the other night when I was on, I had Maury Brown from Forbes on, and we were talking about Marquee. And there are so many questions out there, but not a whole lot of answers. And I'm glad Phil Rosenthal of the Tribune did this. So he just took a column, all the questions, the popular questions that people are asking about Marquee, and he just went down the line and answered all of them. So I wanted to pass these along just in case you missed it. Question, I'm paying for cable channels whether I watch them or not? Phil says, hate to break it to you, but yes, if you subscribe to a TV service that bundles channels rather than rely solely on an over-the-air antenna or a la carte offerings, you're not just paying for cable channels, you're also funding a carriage fee for otherwise free broadcast channels you get, such as WGN9 and ABC7. Will I wind up paying a bigger cable bill if my carrier adds Marquee? Phil says, not necessarily, but probably. That's just the way these things work. No content provider is looking to scale back its carriage fees from what has been previously negotiated. Not even the Cubsless NBC Sports Chicago, which now will have more games than ever for fans of the Blackhawks, Bulls, and White Sox. So whatever Marquee charges is likely to be passed on to consumers instead of cutting into the carrier's profit margin. So what Phil is explaining here is if you want Cubs games, they're not going to say, hey, you're charged $5. Is Marquee going to work out a deal with your cable company? That's the question. That's what we're waiting to find out. And right now, NBC Sports Chicago doesn't have deals with Dish and Sling right now. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Will my service carry Marquee? Phil Rosenthal, the Tribune, writes, do you subscribe to Charter Communications? Sinclair announced in July it had reached a multi-year carriage agreement with Charter that covered its TV stations around the country, Tennis Channel, and all its regional sports networks, including Marquee. Other than that, who knows? There may be agreements with other companies, but news hasn't reached us. February is a long way off. Yeah, we have no idea right now. Will the Cubs' disappointing finish this season and decline in TV ratings for their last season on NBC Sports Chicago hurt them going to market with Marquee? Rosenthal says, doesn't help, but it's not going to hurt much, if at all. These are going to be multi-year carriage deals by and large. What sells the Cubs channel is the passion Cubs fans have for the team, win or lose. Even if they don't watch as much as they have before, they may not want to be totally cut off from the team, as is, they're second only to the Bears in TV popularity. Here's a timely one. By the way, if you missed the news tonight, Paul Sullivan reporting that the Cubs will be interviewing Joe Girardi next week. Would having a manager with TV experience such as David Ross or Joe Girardi help Marquis? Rosenthal says, are they going to announce games while managing? The critical consideration has to be whether they'll improve the team. Bingo. Bingo. Here's an important one that's really gone under the radar. Do we know who is going to be on Marquee? Rosenthal writes, Len Casper and Jim Desjardins are still in line to call Cubs games. There has been speculation about other hires and jockeying within the Chicago media community by some people hoping to land jobs or at least spur enough interest to get a raise. But no notable hires have been announced yet. That's kind of crazy to me. We're not sure. They didn't make an official announcement, right? That Len and JD are back. They said they love them, blah, blah, blah. They say the same thing all the time. There's nothing really set in stone on that. And they haven't hired anybody. At least of the broadcasters I'm talking about. Here's one that I'm interested in. Does the legalization of sports wagering look to affect Marquee content? Rosenthal says, you bet. Sorry, couldn't resist. Ripley sees legalized betting as a big boost for regional sports networks such as Marquee beyond increasing viewer engagement and creating opportunities for interactivity. Sports betting, he said, creates an ad category that really didn't exist before. And he is right. Have you noticed the commercials right here on 670 The Score for the Indiana sportsbooks, the Indiana casinos right over the border? There's going to be more once they have it in Illinois. Believe me. All the casinos, all the horse tracks with their sports books. Oh, here's one that we should address as well. Because I know not every Cubs fan out there spent all 81 minutes checking out Theo Epstein's press conference. It's quite a commitment. If money comes pouring in from Marquee, will it give the Cubs more to spend on players? Theo Epstein already has pushed back on this. The truth is the Cubs previously ramped up spending in anticipation of the new TV money. There also are other expenses the Ricketts family has to cover, given its investments in Wrigley Field and the neighborhood, so don't get your hopes up. That's Rosenthal in the Tribune. I thought he provided some great answers, so I just wanted to pass those on. And if you saw the news the other day, Papa Ricketts lost a lot of money in Ameritrade. A lot? Is it a lot? I would assume $500 million is a lot to him, even to him, even to that family. 815 Texer, I want this Espana guy from the Astros, forget Girardi. I had a lot of reaction. I don't know if this Texer is referring to my interview with Jeff Blum the other night, but he sold me on Joe Espada. He is the Astros bench coach. Man, I'm all in on him. Out on DeRosa, out on Girardi. Who else? Out on Loretta. I don't want Loretta involved. He's going to get an interview. Shouldn't be there. You can't preach change, and you need a new culture. The culture we had is bad. Got to change stuff, and then you're going to have the guy that was a bench coach last year. You can't do that. Can't do that. Mansu Lee, I'm out on him, but he's a nice guy. I'm glad they're giving him an interview. Joe Espada is my guy. That is my pick right now, and I don't know if he's getting an interview. I would bet that Raul Ibanez is also going to get an interview, and I would be pretty pleased with that one, too. What's going to happen? They're going to hire DeRosa. No, they're going to hire Ross. They'd like DeRosa, I think they'd be pleased with. Herb, do you have a guy? I know you're not a Cubs fan, but you think is the best man for the job? And we don't know everybody they're going to interview, but let's assume they're going to interview all the top candidates.
I am not a, you know, that manager guy. So I think Theo and Jed should hire the guy that carries their standard to the field. So whether it's sabermetrics, whether it is, you know, lineup construction.
The one that's going to listen to them?
Yes.
Apparently Madden wasn't listening at the
exactly.
end. That's what John Heyman says.
So I don't think, you know, managing and that in-game stuff matters. I think the stuff that matters, Madden did well, like the keeping the clubhouse together, all that stuff. But if it does matter somewhere, it's in the analytics and who you play, where they play, and when you take guys out. Like Theo and Jed are more numbers-oriented, and so If they want a guy that is, you know, batting versus left-handers, Albert Mora when he was killing left-handers the year before, or playing Derek Holland versus only versus lefties, strictly.
Right.
That type of stuff. So if that is David Ross, if that is Mark Loretta, yeah, exactly. If that is Mark Loretta, I don't too much disagree with that type of thought. That's their team. They put the team together. Why wouldn't they have the person who is the face of the team or the person that is making all the decisions in-game be in concert with what they would want?
Yeah.
Because they got all the groceries, as Bill Parcells back said in the day. They should be cooking the meal also.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't. It's funny. Joe's in front of microphones throughout much of the year, saying you're a lineup beasto. Why are you complaining about the lineup? Theo Epstein was complaining about the lineup. That was clear if you watched that press conference on Monday. He was one of those dudes doing that. All right, coming up next, we're going to go out to Vegas. Check in with my guy, Dave Sherapin. He's an odds maker over at CG Technology, hosts a podcast. He's fantastic. I want to find out where the smart money is going on the NFL and what side they're betting on for Bears Raiders. Also, we'll touch on college football. It'll be a fun conversation. So keep it right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.